Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to a demo for StockMusic.net.
Oh, yo, come on, feel the vibe, punk. Oh, yo, come on, feel the vibe, punk, punk, punk.
Listening to a demo for StockMusic.net.
Murphy, and today is a Monday. It's a new week, new goals, and it's time to change your mindset. New week, new goals, and new mindset. So, ready, set, go. Write those goals down this week. See how many you can achieve. And the challenge is for you to challenge yourself to step outside of your comfort zone. So, guys, thank you for tuning in this morning. We will also have joining us salon owner of the Dollhouse, the queen, the cut queen of ATL, Mrs. Q Barnes Jackson will be joining us shortly on the line. And before she gets on the call, guys, and join us in the studio, I want to go over a few things. A lot of you know that my show really surrounds entrepreneurship, and not just for women. Sometimes I get asked the question, is the show particularly just for women? And the show is not just for women. The show is for entrepreneurs, business owners, aspiring entrepreneurs, but more importantly, those folks that have a story to tell, someone, those people that can motivate other people. So someone that may have been broke, may have just been sleeping outside, may have been homeless, may have been abused, or whatever the story is, and someone that can push and motivate folks, and that's what the show is all about. And you don't even have to have a negative story to be a part of Motivate My Life Radio. You actually can be a part of Motivate My Life Radio if you have success in any avenues of your life. That could be business, that could be your family, because, you know, a lot of times people, when they think success, they think about business, and they think about money. You know, and success comes in a lot of different forms. So you measure your own success. Some people are successful wives. You have successful children. You have success with your time, being able to spend time with family. So success is not about money. Success is what your vision is, your clear vision for success is. So Just wanted to drop that nugget for you guys this morning. Again, thanks for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. We will have joining us in the studio today, Mrs. Q Barnes Jackson. Hi, Q. Are you on the call?
I am. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am good. And first thing first, I want to make sure that I'm enunciating your name correctly. So is it Q?
It is Q.
Okay. I like to ask sometimes. I don't want to start our rapport off all wrong by, you know, calling you enunciating your name incorrectly. Well, great. Thank you for joining the show today. We have, oh, gosh, tons and tons of listeners on the show today, and we also have some questions. So hopefully I can get through with, you know, you and I kind of talking a little bit before we, and we'll try to answer some of the questions. A lot of times we can't get to all of them, but I will try to answer as many as I can. So first thing
sounds
first,
good.
Right. Now, Q, you're in the ATL, right? You're in Atlanta?
I am in Atlanta. Yes, I am. Born and raised.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you're not one of the ones that migrated down there to Atlanta.
I am not a transplant. No, I am actually a Grady baby.
Awesome. Yeah, because I'm in Charlotte, so and that's where my show is. And actually, I'm from D.C., so actually, I migrated to Charlotte, but I hear my girlfriend tell me all the time. She's like, we don't have any more room for anybody else to move to Atlanta. Atlanta's too crowded.
We do not have any more room. Guys, please just visit and go back home.
All right, guys, you heard it firsthand from Ms. Q herself. She said just visit and go back home. I mean, you guys, the traffic down there is, like, beyond ridiculous at this point.
It's bananas. Like, it is so crazy.
Oh, yeah, I've been there even on the weekends, and, like, even on the weekends, I mean, you're sitting for sometimes an hour or so just to get from one side of Atlanta to the other. So definitely familiar with that. But you guys, this says a lot. I think some folks, though, Q, think that moving to Atlanta is going to change all their problems. So,
I know, right? We have wonderful opportunities here. We do. But we're just, hey, it's only so much road that you can travel.
I totally agree. And on top of that, and you know, I tell folks, it doesn't matter what city you live in, guys, you still have to do the work. So
you still have to do the work, yeah.
You'll have to do the work. So with that being said, Q, it looks like you have a lot of good stuff going on. So first thing I want to do is kind of start with, who is Q Barnes Jackson? Like, who are you far as the individual? We know now that you were born and raised in Atlanta. We know that you are a salon owner. But kind of like, who are you overall as an individual? Would you say you're a motivator, you're an inspirational person, kind of like where you came from your childhood, you know, things of that nature. Before we get into the business piece, we kind of want to know who you are on a personal level.
Well, Q Barnes Jackson, I wear many hats, you know, besides being a salon owner, of course. My salon dollhouse is my love. But besides that, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, cousin. I am the matriarch of my family. I am a motivator. I'm very inspirational. I'm a confidant. I wear many hats, and it's on a daily basis. To my clients, I'm not only their stylist, but I'm their friend. I'm their friend, and that's why I have such a large clientele and a warm salon environment, because that's what I teach my stylists to be involved with their clients and become a part of their life. And so that's the person that I am. I'm bubbly. I'm fun. I'm your around-the-way girl, but I'm also, too, a businesswoman. So I think I kind of have all of it up under one roof here for me, and the roof being my body. I kind of play a role in a little bit of everything, and I love it. I love my life. I love the person that I am, and I love that because of the people that raised me and where I come from and things that I've viewed and been a part of coming up. That's who made me who I am, and so I love that.
And that is awesome. Now, I hear you say, you know, that you are definitely all these things. I can definitely hear your bubbly personality through the phone. you know, Q, and as a young person, what was the inspiration like? And what pivot moment in your life that you felt like, I'm going to be a business owner? Did it start out as a hobby, you doing hair? Was it something that you knew that you always had a gift and a talent, and you saw success at this level way before it happened? Like, what motivated you at that point, and how did you get started getting into the hair business?
Well, what motivated me first off is I have a few family members that are stylists. I have a couple of aunts, and then I have a couple of cousins that are – my cousins are only a few years older than I am. And so I've watched that as I was growing up. I've watched them style hair and, you know, be very successful at it. But what was the pivotal moment for me is when I lived in Dallas, Texas for a while as a child. My mom moved to Dallas to afford us a better opportunity at life, because here in Atlanta, I grew up in one of the housing projects. And so she moved to Dallas. She landed a great job, and, you know, I moved out there for a couple of years, maybe 5 or 6 years. And there I wanted this haircut, but the prices were very, very steep at that time. And my mom was like, I'm not going to – I would prefer buy you clothes for that amount opposed to getting your haircut. So there was a hair school not far walking distance from our apartments, and so I went to that hair school where they cut my hair. And I did not like it. I didn't appreciate it. So I went home after stopping by the beauty supply store to get everything that I thought I needed, because I said, I'm going to finger wave my hair because I don't like the way they curled it. And I had already gotten it cut. And back then, that's when that one side was short, even though it's back now, but that one side was short and the other side was kind of long, you know, the salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in the mirror, and I just began to finger wave my hair. And then after I waved it and it came relatively easy for me, I said, wow, maybe I should color the other side, right? So I began to dibble and dabble in hair color, and that was the inspiration from them moving forward. I said, I'm a hairstylist. This is what I love. This is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to become as I grow. And so that was the love of it. When we moved back home to Atlanta, again, I had aunts that were stylists, and I asked my Aunt Terry, I said, can I be your assistant? Because I need to know the ins and outs of styling hair and how things operate. And my Aunt Terry said, of course, you know, come on. And Terry had a huge clientele. So I went in and I began to assist Terry, and I began to make all this great money. And that wasn't enough. I said, listen, I can do all of this myself. So I went to my grandmother, who, you know, loved everything about me, would do anything for me. So I said, Mom, I need to start styling hair in your kitchen, in the project. What you think?
Okay.
So she was like, well, as long as you clean up. I said, well, that's it. It's on. And from then, it was on and popping. I started styling hair in my grandmother's apartment. I may have been maybe a sophomore, junior in high school, and it went from there.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, Q, I love these stories because, you know, people look at you now and they don't know all the work it took for you to get to where you are today. And so
yes.
I always like to kind of probe and get into, you know, those moments. How do you get from here to the next level, to the next level? And so, I mean, you started styling hair in your grandma's kitchen. And now from that point to where you are today, you have grown into this successful business owner. Now, when you went from styling hair in grandma's kitchen, and at some point, obviously, you grew and you took your business to the next level, or you turned styling hair in the kitchen into a business. So at what point did you say, okay, it's time for me to either go work in a salon? You know, outside of that, you work and kind of got the ins and outs from family members. But at what point did you say, it's time for me to go work in a salon and, you know, get my license and become and make this a business? How long did you do that after working in the kitchen and things of that nature at your grandmother's house?
Okay. Well, what happened was I did that until I was about 20. I got pregnant. And now I'm pregnant at 20. I need to figure out what do I need to do, because now I have a life that I have to provide for. With me, I can wing it. I'm cool. I'm good. But now it's, you know, things have gotten real, you know. So I said, I have to do something. Well, a lot of people, some people were telling me, you know, it's not a lot of money and it's this, that, and the third. You need to get a job. So I tried that. I tried corporate America for a couple of years. I did. I've worked for some of the major companies here in Atlanta. And that just wasn't fulfilling me. Even though I was providing for my son, that wasn't fulfilling who I was. And I said, maybe my son was about two or so. And I said, no. This is not me. I'm a hairstylist. You know, and some of my clients, they would force me to drive to their homes and style their hair, and they wouldn't let me quit. So I said, I'm a hairstylist. This is what it is, and I need to just accept the gift that God has given me and flourish in it. And that's what I decided to do. So I took it from there. I went to school, got my master cosmetologist license, and I got in the salon in Riverdale, Georgia from there. And from that point on, it has been nothing but great. I've had great success from the time I hit the salon floor. And in my career, I've only been in three salons because I believe in sticking and staying for years. And after my third salon.
Longevity.
Longevity means a lot to a lot of our stylists, and a lot of us don't understand that. We have to stick and stay. It's a business. You know, it's not a hobby. This is a business, and if you operate it as such, you would definitely be successful. If you operate it as just something to do, then you would be stagnant in your career, and that's not what I wanted because, again, I like fine things. You know, when my mom took me from Atlanta Projects to Dallas, Texas, we lived in middle upper class, and I lived in a community that had, you know, Olympic sized pools with saunas and hot tubs.
Mm.
And, you know, your laundromat was on campus. I mean, on the property, even if you didn't have washer and dryer in your apartment. So I went from not having any of that to stepping off a plane, Delta, first class. And to this whole different world. And I wanted that again. Even though we moved back home, I wanted that again, and I wanted that for my son. And so I knew then that I have to do something to provide that. And I knew that this hair industry, and if I treated it with the respect that it deserved, then it would treat me with that same amount of respect, and I will be rewarded tremendously. And that's when I decided that this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I would provide for my son. You know, like I said, it took off from there, and after about my third salon, a friend of mine came to me, and, you know, we used to call each other brother and sister. And he said, sister, when are you going to get your salon? We need to work together again because we worked together previously in a different salon. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get it now. Thank you for reminding me because I had kind of gotten off track. But I'm going to get it now. So that's when the birth of Salon Dollhouse became a reality for me.
So how long have, and I want to go back on something that you mentioned when you were talking about your journey and how you went back and you worked for corporate America for a while. And because a lot of people do go back and try to, you know, have that nest egg because, you know, of course, if you have bills to pay, households to take care of and things of that nature, you know, people look at the 9-to-5 as guaranteed money. And so you mentioned something about how, you know, some folks that maybe you were hanging with at the time or friends, you know, when you're telling them how big your vision is, you know, they think that you are just like crazy. Like it to them, it makes absolutely no sense. And you need to go get a job. So that's the part I heard because I want to touch on that just really quickly, Q, just because it happens a lot. And there are probably a lot of entrepreneurs or aspiring business owners on the call on the show today that probably want to know that. You know, I get a lot of that asked all the time, how people say, well, why do your friends and your family don't support your vision and your dream? And because you have to remember something, you know, Q, and you can chime in at, if you like, but you have to remember something that when you're talking to small-minded people, you know, hey, I'll give it to you all, it is what it is. You're talking to small-minded people that don't share that same vision or they can't see that vision because they don't think beyond today. You can't take it personal when they tell you, oh, it's going to be hard for you to start a business. Oh, you need to go get a regular job. You really going to need a nest egg. I mean, how are you going to be able to do that? You can't let the naysayers hold you back from what your vision is. And some of us get so caught up in what people say sometimes. So I really like the fact that you said, you know, you did say folks was like, you need to go get a job, but you went back and revisited what your vision was to bring it to fruition. That's where
Absolutely.
A lot of folks are stuck. And it's nothing wrong
Absolutely.
With how, yeah, it's nothing wrong with how you did it, because you still got this outcome that you got today. So it's okay that you went back and you said, I'm going to go to work. But you also said, this is not for me. And I'm really making this point right now because of some of the questions that were asked from some folks that are on the show. You cannot allow naysayers to keep you from moving forward. And this is what I tell people. Release that circle and go create a new one. Because, see, that's not the circle that you want to be in, because you guys are not sharing the same common goals and aspirations, and it's okay. Go create you another
Absolutely.
Circle of folks. You know what I mean? You go create you another circle
yeah.
of folks that are sharing the same vision that you're sharing. So I just wanted to touch on that. I really like how you know, basically said people like you to get a job, and you got a job, but then you said, hey, this is not going to work. And so
Absolutely.
That's how Salon Dollhouse right now has come to fruition. So, you know, Q, doing hair is a competitive business. Now that, you know, it's a competitive business doing hair, and you're in one of the biggest cities known for doing hair, which is Atlanta. So
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So far as, you know, the being competitive, what were some of the challenges that you faced, you know, in a competitive city like Atlanta and becoming a stylist?
Well, you
like,
said
you know,
it yourself. You said it yourself, being that Atlanta is large, but it's also, too, has a large salon base and an extremely high rate of the amount of stylists. There's a lot of us on my street. My salon is on Old National Highway in College Park. But on Old National Highway, I could think off the top of my head, it's about 7 or 8 salons on Old National.
Wow.
For one, location is key. Location is, if it's not half or 75% of you being successful or the salon being successful, the location is very important, and I can't stress this enough. Because, and I say that because the stylist of my caliber and my talent, I've been in a bad location before, and my clientele dropped tremendously. It was like within 2 months, it was horrible.
Wow.
It dropped tremendously, and it was because of the location. My talent was the same. I was the same, but my location was different. So for one, location is key. You can have a million salons on this block, but if that location is not a great location, a location where people feel comfortable coming to, safe coming to, parking plays such a part in it.
Yes.
The fact that it has to be convenient, easily accessible. Those things are the things that we don't think about that we should think heavily about when we're opening up a business or either going into rent a booth or work commission in a salon. Those things can determine whether you succeed or fail, regardless of your talent. So location is key. For me, Salon Dollhouse is located right off the interstate. You know, we sit behind right around four major fast food restaurants. I sit in a plaza that has a mini mall in it. So, and I'm on the front side of the plaza. So my location is superb. Like, even if I were to open up other locations, Salon Dollhouse on Old National Highway will never close. This salon has been so great. This location has been so great to me. And that's important to owners because you need stylists in your salon. And if stylists don't have a great location for the clients to come, then your salon will always be empty. And you need stylists in order for your salon to grow. I have a great name. I am like the pillar of the community. Salon Dollhouse, everyone knows Salon Dollhouse. I can only speak of maybe 2 other salons on this strip with 8 of us that anybody would know anything about. But Salon Dollhouse is the premier salon in South Atlanta on Old National Highway.
And Q, and just to interrupt you really quickly, there is someone on the show, they've asked, okay, someone wants to know, do you do a lot of marketing? Are you still doing a lot of marketing for your salon? How are people finding where you are?
I do. And this is what sets me apart from my salon and myself as an owner, from other salon owners. My salon is booth rental. Booth rental means that the stylists come in, they rent a booth, they're responsible for everything as far as their clientele, marketing, different things like that. That's their responsibility because they're booth rental, not commission. But because of who I am, I love to market. I love to do things. I love putting myself and my salon out there. I continuously promote throughout the year for Salon Dollhouse, and then I promote for Q, Cut Queen of Atlanta.
Gotcha.
So to answer your
question,
yes, I do promote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do promote. Okay. Yeah, I can't wait till you talk about your Cut Queen of Atlanta title, because, I mean, I think that title speaks volume. And so I hope that answered the question for the person that's actually on the show today as far as the marketing piece. And then it looks like we have one more question. How did she become so big? How did your salon become so big? I have been running somebody said they've had a salon now, Q, for looks like 3 years, what she's saying, and she still doesn't have the traffic flow in her salon. So she's still paying I am still paying a lot of my bills out of my pocket because my business is not paying for itself. How did your salon Dollhouse become so big?
Okay, well, for me, location is key
mm-hmm.
because, again, you will end up paying a lot of it out of your pocket. When I opened my doors, I had myself, a nail tech, and another stylist. It was three. Before the month was over, I was up to five or six. And so because of the location, you know, I didn't have to really promote. I never did a salon is opening, coming soon, or anything like that. The salon just sat in its location, and stylists began to just come through the door. So, you know, location is very, very, very important. Now, if you have a great location, then we have to promote and market in order to get people in. And I do understand it becomes a situation where it's financially straining, but we have social medias now that are reaching out to people, and that's more cost effective than anything else. I would suggest that you do commercials. I've had several commercials with my salon. And you can do commercials for social media that you only put on Facebook and Instagram. One thing I notice about social media, we can post a million pictures, but people will hit play
totally
for any video. They're going to hit play.
Yep.
So what you need to do is get somebody in, do your video, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, what have you. And I don't know if you're in the salon. I mean, if you're in Atlanta. But I do know a young lady that this month only she's doing, she's coming out to locations and doing a 30-second video. And her price is very affordable right now, only for this month. And so, but this is one of the things that you can do to increase activity into your salon, because, like I said, we're visual. And more so than visual, we want to hit play. We look at the pictures. Those are pretty. But if we hit play and we can see something else, then that's what we kind of gravitate to and towards. And so do you some videos, post them, do you some a YouTube page, post them, and you have to be vigilant about it. You have to do it daily, like throughout the day, morning, when you're eating, do it for breakfast, do it for lunch, do it for dinner. You have to. That's the only way the name of your salon is going to get out, and you need to do community. Like for years I've been a part of Hosea Feed the Homeless. I go down and I offer my time. Christmas is coming up. You should probably do some type of clothing drive or Toys for Tots or anything, you know, kind of like that. You should do appreciations, like just have something in the salon. Like for me, we did a video. Any of the challenges that come out, on social media do those. We're getting ready to do another challenge now. But we did a video. Over 50,000 people saw it. Just because we was in the salon, and I was vigilant about doing this video, my stylist, because, listen, it was serious. It was take two, take three. That's not right. We got to do this. I was serious about this video, but when we finished and they saw the response, they were like, oh, my God. So you have to try to lead your stylist in the direction that your salon is going in. And it's, let me tell you what I learned, though. If you have somebody in your salon that is not teachable, they need to go.
They need to go.
I've been there, I've done that, and I've had a stylist that attempted to actually undermine me and, you know, direct my stylist in a totally different direction from the direction I was trying to take Salon Dollhouse in. And they will do that when you're not there. So you have to be vigilant, and you have to have a relationship with each and every one of your stylists and meet them where they are. I know salon rules are what the rules are the rules, but I learned the hard way. You have to meet people where they are in life. Your relationship with each one of your stylists will be different. The respect level should be the same. The rules are the same, but your relationship with them will be different because everyone, the place that you're in is different from the next person. So you have to meet them. You have to be an owner. You have to actually be an owner. You have to be a leader. You have to be a confidant. You have to be a motivator. You know, even when you're tired, you have to motivate and push your stylist to the limit. And that's what
and
I
you
do
have
here
to do the work.
Dog.
You know, yeah.
You have to do the work.
The
work is serious.
You are the face. You're the face of your brand, basically. So
I am.
I mean, you have to do the work. And, you know, so when you decide, when you make that decision to say, hey, I want to open a business, you know, and you have to make that decision as well to say, I'm ready to work hard. Because nothing great comes easy.
Nothing great comes easy, and I don't know if the other stylist, not to cut you off, but not rude.
Okay.
I don't know if the other stylist, the young lady that was asking the question, if she's a stylist or a salon owner. But I will tell you this: as a stylist, still today, with my salon being as you know as full as it is with stylists, and it's been this way for a while, I adjust my schedule for my clients, which means I typically will come in at 10 in the morning, Tuesday through Thursday. If I have a client that needs to be at work by 10, I get up and I'm here 7:30 or 8. I never make enough money. I'm never in a place in my mind or in my heart that I can miss a client. Never. And that's where a lot of us get it twisted at. We get a little bit of success, you know, and, oh, I don't do this, and I don't get up at that time, and you have – no. If someone needs my services, listen, my sister, we have been on the way out to dinner, and a sew-in call, and I said, listen, give me an hour and 30 minutes. You guys go ahead, have a couple of hors d'oeuvres, have a little bit of drink, and then I'll be there by the time the main course gets to the table, okay? I am coming
and that's how you
to get
it.
My money, and I'm working hard, and I have to show
so
my stylist this is what this is about. I'm so serious about this money because after Q Cut Queen of Atlanta, after those lights go out, and, you know, after all of that is said and done, I'm a hairstylist. I have to style hair, and I mean that. So I'm available.
And then you know what? You know what also, Q, that's really important, too, is that, you know, that you provide that excellent customer service, being able to serve your customers and kind of working around some of their schedules. Because you're exactly right. There are a lot of stylists out here. I mean, they'll tell you what time they don't work and what time. You know, basically, you have to kind of work around the stylist schedule. So providing superb customer service. See, I always tell folks, quality over quantity. I mean, it
wins every
super
time.
Super exceeds any day. Yes, it does. So
it does.
You know,
it does. And I've lived that.
And it sets you apart, too. And it'll set you apart because guess what? I want to go over to Q Salon where I know Q might can be flexible with my schedule because I don't get off work today until 6. And I want to go
absolutely
over to Q Salon opposed to, you know, going up the street to Nancy or whomever Salon because they have funny hours. And I'm telling you.
Right.
You know,
and that's what I try to
right
tell.
There.
I teach my stylists that, listen, even if you can't service them, refer them to one of your co-stylists because you want to keep them in the building. Here, they're obligated to you. Somebody can stand in for you. But if they go somewhere else, they may like what they see, like what they hear, like the smell of the salon, whatever, like the colors, whatever.
Right.
They may, and then you may lose a client, you know. So, but customer
totally.
Service, everybody comes in my salon. I'm in the front of the salon. I greet them with either good morning, how are you, who are you here to see, or good evening. When they leave, I always tell them your hair is pretty, have a good day, have a good weekend. I'm always complimenting them throughout the day. I speak to them, how you doing, what's going on with you today. I always make them feel like they matter, and that's what counts. You have to. And one of my clients, and she's a new, relatively new client, she turned to me last Saturday, and she said, Q, you call everyone beautiful, don't you? I said, yeah. Because do you know how many women float through their day and no one says you're beautiful? So if somebody comes in here and I say, hello, beautiful, how are you? That turns your whole day around. Mm-hmm.
And guess
so,
what?
So, yeah,
somebody
I call everyone
that
beautiful.
At that particular moment.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
so that's what
And somebody might need to hear that at that particular moment. So, again, quality, a superb customer service, continuously marketing, promoting, being the face of your brand. I mean, guys, all these great nuggets that Q is dropping this morning are very important, and this is how she obtained the success that she actually has today. And Q, I want to also get into this title, the Cut Queen of the ATL, really quickly.
Right.
Now, how did you get this title?
Okay, so
how did the title come about?
This is what happened. There's this thing that goes around, and they're called cut parties. A cut party, if you're not familiar, a cut party is a party that's going on, and you have stylists in the center of the floor or on the stage or wherever, and they're cutting, and the stylists are cutting at the same time. You may have three stylists, four stylists, five stylists, and we're cutting to the beat. Whatever the DJ is spinning, whatever is being played, we're cutting to that, and it's cutting hair with the flare, okay? So what happened was someone came to me, and they said, hey, I'm putting on a cut part. I would love for you to be in it. So I said, yeah, that's cool. No problem. I can do that now. You know, my son has graduated, and I have time for shows. You know, prior to, I had so much clientele that took me away from parenting, I couldn't risk being gone away from my son anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I refused to do any type of shows. But now, you know, I'm newly married. My son's life is off and running. I'm open for whatever. I'm good. So I said, yeah, of course I'll do it. So I'm looking at the cut parties, and I see stylists cutting. They're cutting on their knees. They're cutting on ladders. They doing all type of acrobatic things, cutting, they doing whatever, right? Because, of course, what happens is the crowd gravitates to whatever stylist it is that they want to see cut, right? So I said, okay. Well, I got to get the crowd because, again, I'm cute. I have to have the crowd at my stage while I'm cutting. This is Salon Dollhouse. You know, you got to know I'm in this building. So that's when that's when the birth of Cut Queen of Atlanta came about. I went. I slayed. The people were all over me. Like, it was, stylists were mad. They felt like it was rigged. Y'all rigged it for Q. It was so crazy. And once that happened, everybody, you know, started calling me, oh, that's the cut queen. That's the cut queen of Atlanta right there. So a second one came up here in Atlanta, and they were like, well, you know, you got to do it because everybody's saying they need to come and see you cut. So I said, oh, I got to come up with something else. Now I got to really cut. Like, I have to really slay this thing because the people are calling. They like you to cut, queen. So that was a title that was given to me by my city. I didn't dub myself that. They did. And so because of that, I take that on proudly, and I'm very serious about it. And that's when I started cutting with this bling mask. This Swarovski crystal bling mask, and that took them all the way over. They was like, oh, my God, this is crazy.
Yeah, honey.
And so that's how it began.
I really even like, I think there's on the photo, the marketing photo we have for the show, I like the, and I think those are some bling things or something you got going on your fingers, and I was like, that is really cool. Because
those are my finger razors. Those are my finger razors, and I sell those. You can go to my website, salondollhouse.com, and I sell those. The bling ones, those are Swarovski crystals, and those are two for $450. And then the plain ones, because everybody don't like to be shiny and glam. Like, you know, I love everything that glitters and bling and all that stuff, but everybody's not like me. So some people like kind of low key, but they still, you know, fly with what they do. I also too have the plain ones that don't have any of the Swarovski crystals or anything on them. So you can go to my website, and of course you can purchase them from there. But
those
yeah,
are
those
razors,
are my finger razors.
Awesome.
Yes, I cut with them. And you can actually go on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and to my Salon Dollhouse. It's Salon Dollhouse ATL. On YouTube and see some of my videos with me cutting with the finger razors. Absolutely.
Oh my God. Okay, so guys, you have to check that out because we're definitely going to get all your social media handles and so forth before the show actually wraps up. So, Sue, there's a few more things I wanted to kind of get into before we wrap the show up. And one of the questions I wanted to ask is, what is some advice? What are like three key points right now that you would give to an aspiring hairstylist or salon owner? So right now, if someone came to you and said, I want to open a salon or I want to be a hairstylist, what are three key points that you would tell that individual?
Three key points would be to stay teachable and knowledgeable. Know what you're doing. Be able to be taught a different way to achieve what you're attempting to achieve. Persistence is very important. Never give up. Always work towards your goal every day. Do something towards your goal. Every day you wake up, you have to do something towards your goal in order for it to come into fruition. And the third thing is to always remain humble. Remain humble, because in this industry will eat you up and spit you out. You have to be humble. I have seen great stylists, some of the best stylists, clientele go straight down under because they're nasty. They have a nasty attitude. They're not humble. You have to remain humble in this industry in order to get where you're going, because a lot of it is talent, a lot of it is what you know, a lot of it is who you know, a lot of it is being placed in a position at that right time. You have to remain humble, because in order to get to a certain level, you have to work with people, and people will not work with a stylist or an owner that is not humble.
And that is huge. And even because even when you reach a certain plateau in your career or your business, you definitely want to stay humble, because, I mean, you know, the last thing you want to do is make people feel like, you know, basically you need them. You know, you want your customers, your clients to know that you need them. You actually need them, you know, to keep business running, and not that you're kind of doing them a favor, so to speak. So you have to be careful with that mentality. Now, Salon Dollhouse, now, you said you have one in College Park, Georgia, correct? And I'm going to have to get down there on my next trip to Atlanta. I come quite often. I may
absolutely
have to stop by and just say hello to you.
Absolutely.
So you say that you have one in College. Yeah, I definitely have to stop by. I always like to meet some of my guests, actually, kind of, you know, in person, the ones that can't come in person to the, you know, the studio. I like to meet sometimes if I have the opportunity. Now, you have one in College Park, Georgia. And then is there another Salon Dollhouse there in Georgia?
No, I'm the only Salon Dollhouse in College Park.
Okay.
Now, I've heard of other salons that may use the Dollhouse name, but Salon Dollhouse is the only Salon Dollhouse in College Park. That's
okay,
the only one. I purchased my name. Fulton County is the only one that could ever exist here.
Well, can you tell us, too, Kim, what type of services do you offer at Salon Dollhouse?
Oh, my God, we do everything. I have an Asian nail tech. I have an Asian nail tech. I have a barber. As far as styling, we do everything. We do custom colors, custom cuts. We do all type of commercial hair additions. We do as far as like quick weaving, frontals, closures, sew-ins, vixen sew-ins. We do pressing styles. We even do curls. People like curls. We do roller sets. Mm-hmm. We do conditioning treatments, hydration treatments. We do everything. Everything is done. I have a makeup artist. We do eyelash extensions as well as full face makeup, lashes, brows. We do a little bit of everything.
Wow.
In Salon Dollhouse. And
so
I have a full service salon.
It
is absolutely your
one-stop
shop. Yes, and we have a great time.
Awesome.
Let me say we have a great time in Salon Dollhouse. No client, new or old, is a stranger. We have an awesome time. We put out great work. We are a part of our clients' lives. They're a part of our lives. And it's a family. We're a family.
Which is really important. It's really important.
Yes.
I mean, when you have to work with someone, I tell folks all the time, you spend a lot of hours in the week at work. And when you have to work with these folks, you know, whether you're a business owner, whether you're working in corporate America, 9 to 5 or whatever, when you spend a lot, you know, 40 hours a week on an average working with these people,
yeah,
you definitely want to have a rapport with them, you know, some type of relationship. And they do become family. They actually do
absolutely
become family. So absolutely, it's really key that you have. Now, working at owning Salon Dollhouse and things of that nature, I know that, you know, you're very busy with the salon and all that, but it looks like you also have some other things that you actually have coming up the pike as well, far as what some of your next projects are concerned. And I don't know if you've already did the Century Battle of the Hair project yet, or is that something coming up?
No. We did. I was one of the stylists that was chosen by Bronner Brothers to compete in their hair battle. The hair battle was back in August, and it was only five of us, one of them being the reigning champion, and then they invited the other four. And that was such a big deal for me because you couldn't pay your way in. They had to see something in you and invite you into that, and that's one of the biggest shows I've done thus far in my career, and I loved it. I welcomed it with open arms, and I loved it. And so that'll be aired on Centric TV this Saturday. We're doing a private viewing as far as the guest list, but the location is public because it'll be at Salon Dollhouse. We're doing that this Saturday. So it'll be aired October 22nd at 8 p.m.
Wow. So, guys, make sure you catch that. Again, and Q, we're going to have you actually talk to us about how folks can reach you, follow you, keep up with you. I do have at least – I'm going to try to get in one more question. Unfortunately, the questions, they just keep popping in. And so, like I said, it's a lot of times. There's so many of them. We don't have time to answer most of them. However, I definitely would love to have you come back to Motivate My Life Radio, come back on the show at some point, and maybe we could try to get some of those questions in. But I will ask, someone wants to know, a listener wants to know, is it hard being in the hair business in such a competitive city? I think we kind of talked a little bit about that, but she wants to know, is it hard being in the hair business in such a competitive city?
As long as you market and promote yourself and promote your business and brand yourself, then it's not hard. There are a lot of people that in a lot of different careers that, of course, have a lot of competition. And this is one of those careers. But there are a million people. There are a million clients.
Totally.
Every eye you catch is a potential client. Every hello you speak to someone is a potential client. And so being competitive is what we do in our nature, but being having it to be a successful situation for you, that's up to you. As long as that drive is there and that fire is in you for it, then you'll be all right.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like I said, I think I dropped that nugget too in the beginning of the show. At the end of the day, guys, you still have to do the work. So you are kind of really in charge of your success, or how successful that you will be in your business. It's really going to be left up to you. Well, Q, I really appreciate you joining the show. We want to, before we wrap up, we want to get your social media handles and also kind of let folks in the Atlanta area know where exactly Salon Dollhouse is located. So if you could give us your social media handles first, that would be great.
My social media handles are my my Facebook is my name is Karash Barnes, or the Salon Dollhouse. My Instagram is at Salon Dollhouse, one word, at Salon Dollhouse, one word. And I have a YouTube page, which is Salon Dollhouse ATL. That's my YouTube. You can go there and see the different videos that I've done. And my website is www.salondollhouse.com. And you can go there and purchase different products that we offer here at Salon Dollhouse and just keep up with things that we're doing. And also, too, there are pictures on there as well.
Okay.
Salon Dollhouse is located at 5141 Old National Highway in College Park, Georgia, and that's just south of Atlanta.
Awesome, because I'm sure after the show you may be getting some new clients, which is always great. Again, it's all about marketing, and so when you put yourself out there, guys, and folks get to know who you are, folks, they want to come and try you out. And, of course, once they come and try you out, it's up to you whether they come back or not. So,
absolutely, but great stuff. But we haven't found one that didn't. Again, I have a 13 station salon, and we're full. And I've been full for a while. I have a great reputation in the community and in Atlanta as a whole. So just keep your eyes open for Salon Dollhouse, because we're definitely on the rise.
God, sounds like you're doing a lot of great things, Q. And I mean, and I know that you will definitely. I'm sure you're gonna have some other new things on the horizon as a business owner. Because I tell folks, an entrepreneur and a business owner is not the same. So
right,
you definitely are. It's not the same. Definitely a business owner. So thanks again.
Definitely not. No. Thank you. And look for me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. But look for me at Bronner Brothers this upcoming February. I will have several booths selling my Cut Queen finger razors. I will have several booths doing that. If I'm not mistaken, I will probably be doing a class. So I will be there, will be in the building. Can't wait to see everybody there.
Awesome. Good stuff, Q. Well, you keep up the awesome work, and again, when I get down back down to the Atlanta area, which will be in the next couple of weeks, I would definitely try to stop by the salon and just kind of peek my head in to say, hey, and who knows, I might even need my hair done. So,
absolutely. You know I'm here for you.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining Motivate My Life Radio. It's been a pleasure, and you have a great rest of the week on purpose.
Thank you. You do the same.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. Q Barnes Jackson, Salon Dollhouse owner in College Park, Georgia. So if you are in the area, it looks like Q is definitely on the rise as far as success as being a business owner. She has a 13-booth salon that she has stylists in all 13 booths. So it looks like Salon Dollhouse is doing some great things down there in College Park, Georgia. So, again, if you're in the area, stop by, give a call, perhaps, and schedule your appointment for Salon Dollhouse. Also, her social media handles are Salon Dollhouse if you want to kind of follow her and keep up with what she has going on and her next project and what's coming up next. Again, thank all of you for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy, and you have a great rest of the week on purpose.